hello out there and welcome to the Danny
and Rihanna Show. This is Danny Pena, Rihanna's husband.
And I am Danny's wife, Rihanna Manuel Pena.
And today we're going to have a great discussion. I know it's a debate too online.
Ooh.
About physical and digital media.
Yeah, it's a tough one, right? Like, this is a conversation that has been around for a while, and it's not just an impact for video games, right? This is the same thing for books to a lesser degree, but also movies and television shows.
And music, because I used to collect a lot of CDs, tapes, records. I still collect records to this day. But yeah, this is going to be a great conversation because I remember, okay, I'm going to go back, Ree.
Okay.
I'm going to go back the days where CD came out.
Mm.
Everybody was like, oh, this is the thing.
I was there.
I was so against CDs when it came out.
Wait,
I was
so you were all about tapes?
All about tapes.
Okay.
Because tapes, I had the funds to buy a tape recorder and all this stuff. With CDs, remember the time where people will have like CD burners and they will download music online and then burn it? I was just so against CDs. But then cassettes disappeared. So I'm like, you know what? I have no other choice. I got to go with CDs, whatever. And another thing that I had issues with, a lot of the cars of those days, some of them had a CD player, some of them didn't. So I had to use like it's like an adapter where it has like a little cassette connected to my CD.
I had the exact same adapter. Yeah. So it's where you put like the cassette tape into your car.
Even FM AM radio.
Or FM AM radio. Yeah. So you put the cassette tape in it and then you plug, like you said, an adapter into your CD player.
Yes.
Which was separate device, put the CD in it, and then it would like link up and somehow actually it's pretty impressive how that works.
Oh, it was amazing. I was like, yo, this is genius.
Yeah.
And it's funny, the cassette one sounded better than the AM FM one. I was like, no, I'm gonna stick with the cassette.
It was much higher fidelity. But
yeah.
It's interesting that you recall that era of music changing over, because I, of course, know what all of these things are. My mom had records growing up. I had a cassette player, so I had a Walkman.
Ooh, Walkman.
I remember I would be bumping like Miss Education and Lauryn Hill or like Brandy. Like, those are like my little black girl R&B jam.
Yeah.
But I remember the changeover to the CD version of a Walkman, and I got that one, Sony. Mm-hmm. And how unreliable it was compared to the cassette technology. For me, being a dancer, I was like bopping around my room, I was like running down the street doing jumps and leaps and turns and stuff, and CD players, if you recall, skipped quite a bit. Oh. Especially the handheld versions.
Yes.
So for me, obviously, you know, we go from floppy disk to CD drives and a computer, you get, you know, exponential increase in the amount of data that you can store, so many, many more songs. But I really got frustrated because I felt like it didn't work as well for what my use case was, even though I could listen to a lot more songs on a CD player in theory. But I'm right there with you. Like, I didn't really love the change, but that for that specific reason.
It was hard. First of all, we were young, so it was very hard for me.
Yeah, this is 90s.
This is 90s, so it was hard for me to make that change, right? So now, let's fast forward to now.
Well, let's pause. Well,
not pause.
There's definitely many more steps.
Yes, oh, I forgot to mention. There was another time too where I started having an MP3 player.
So okay, I want to put a pin in this.
Yes.
Because what MP3 player was the first one that you used?
I had this. I can't remember the name of the brand, but it was one of those like I could just transfer. I connected to my computer. I could put any MP3 there.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that was like, this is a game changer, was the iPod.
Okay, so
mind-blowing to me was the moment that I had over 1,000 songs in that device. I'm like, you know what? I don't need a CD player. I don't need a cassette. It's easy for me to just search for the name of the artist, find a song,
put it on
make
shuffle.
A playlist, shuffle, I'm good. And then I'll go to the settings and see, okay, what are the songs I'm listening to the most? I can't do that with CDs and cassettes, but yeah, go ahead.
So I'm going to stop you there because I had a very similar, but a very specific reason why I did not like the upgrade in technology between CDs and MP3 players.
Ooh, I gotta hear this.
Okay, so I love albums. I love it when you have something like a masterpiece, like a renaissance, where like the actual transitions between songs matter, and it's meant to be listened to and consumed in a particular order. And so one of the records that I bumped all the time was Miseducation, Lauryn Hill, as I said. Another one, a similar one, was College Dropout, Kanye West.
Classic
Kanye West. This is different from today. But what I really loved about that were the skits in between. Right. You remember all the different skits?
Yes, all the skits, yeah.
I just can't keep working like this. Like, there's just so many, like what's going to keep you warm? My degrees. Like, there's just so many things in between the songs that happened. Mm-hmm. And you lose the impact of all of that when you put things on shuffle, when you have it in a digital library. It just doesn't have that same tactile feel. It doesn't have that same, like, earworm where it's dug into your memory and you can like quote them and you know exactly what song is coming next because you're used to hearing them in a certain order. I love that. And as somebody who really loves music and especially dancing to music, that meta story of hearing an album and knowing exactly what's going to happen in the next song mattered a lot to me. And when we got to MP3 players and we lost that for the most part because you're either listening to things in alphabetical order or you make your own playlist or you shuffle or whatever, you lose the album, mm-hmm. right? You have lots and lots of music, but you lose the albums. And of course, that's come back around and people have figured out ways to do that.
It's a technology that's a lot better
the technology's now. Like
you listen to like Beyonce's album now.
Renaissance. Masterpiece.
Transition from one song to the next because it's meant to be a smooth
mix. Yeah, it's meant to be listened to as we used to, right?
And back then it was a little mix, weird.
Like the tempo wasn't like putting together an album's like putting together a great show. Yeah. Like it's important, the beats, like how you're vibing in one song and the moving into another version of that story or another version of that that experience or the next chapter in that book, if you will. And so, yeah, long story short, I could talk about albums forever, honestly, but I missed that experience when we moved to MP3 players. So I had Zune.
Oh my God, I had a Zune too.
I had a Zune.
Was it the first gen? Because I had
think it
the
was
ugly,
second gen.
I had the ugly brown.
I had a
it
brown
looked like
one.
A piece of poop.
I had Zune. A brown Zune. I think I had another one as well that was a creative. You get I want to say
I had the I was
it was oh, white and had a green circle.
I know which one is that one, but I also wanted to get the Zune HD.
Oh,
and it came in like
it
later.
Had that special display on it.
Oh, and it was like the color was nice. Yeah. The design was a lot better. But the thing I love about Zune at that time, mm-hmm. oh my God, they were so ahead of the time. So you use your Microsoft sign in.
Yes,
everybody has an account, so I'll see what my friends are listening to. This mm-hmm. is like. Before Spotify, before
Discord.
All that stuff. And I'll see my friends' songs that they've been listening to.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I could meet up with a friend that also has a Zune and be like, yo, Reed, you got to check out this track.
Mm-hmm. And click. And then
I'll click. I'll send you the song.
Yep.
And you'll have the song for like 2 days.
Yep. And I then remember that.
Yo, that was ahead of
its
time.
It was so cool.
Yo, that was like genius.
The social sharing, it was just so, like you said, ahead of its time.
I think they had a hard time.
They had a hard time marketing it.
Like, I even went to the launch event in Florida. Microsoft invited me to go, and they wanted me to interview the I can't remember who it was. It was like a Jamaican band.
Mm.
They were playing there.
Very cool.
And it was like a big Zune thing. My brother was there too. He was like, yo, this is amazing. So
shout out to Nano.
So they gave us a Zune. So I had a Zune. My brother had a Zune.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't believe you mentioned it. I missed that MP3 player. That was amazing.
It was a good piece of technology. And the interesting thing when we talk about the original like point of this podcast and this conversation is digital versus physical is that I felt like that was a sweet spot between physical media because it was downloaded, it was offline. You did, for the most part, control it. Like mm-hmm. maybe you didn't technically own it, but you didn't sign a EULA or in end user licensing agreement in order to borrow the rights to listen to it. Like you had that song, you downloaded it, it was yours. You could share with your friends, you could play it wherever you wanted to, you could have it forever. Like we see in Guardians of the Galaxy, he's like in space and it still works. Like
still works,
that is yours to have, yours to keep. And it was the great bridge between where we were when we grew up and where we are now, where we don't own almost any of the media that we consume.
Anything.
So kind of moving forward in the technology and the conversation, where we are now mm-hmm. is, as I mentioned, an end user license agreement essentially states you are paying when you buy a movie on, you know, Vudu or whatever, if you, or the iTunes store, if you download a game from the Xbox store, from PlayStation store or whatever, Nintendo. Mm-hmm. If you are listening to music on Spotify, you sign an agreement that says you do not own this music. You are licensed, you're paying for a licensed rights to listen to it or to experience it. Mm-hmm. And you cannot reproduce it, so you can't share with your friends.
No.
Not legally. And you don't have it if you're not connected to the internet in a lot of cases, when you have digital rights management services like DRM services also verifying that your account is up to date before you get to access your media. So all of that technical jargon essentially boils down to you are paying for something that you can't always take with you or access. And we've seen the ramifications of this recently with the shutdown of Crunchyroll.
Crunchyroll, yep.
And it's really difficult for people to grapple with the fact that they've created a library of content, be it games or music or movies or whatever, mm-hmm. that they love, they've consumed, they've shared with people in their lives, and feels like it's theirs, but at any point it can be taken away. Mm-hmm. And that's really jarring, but it's legally what we agree to when we sign that long, long thing and we put a check mark at the bottom of it and we just move on.
Nobody reads that.
And here's the problem, though. It's more convenient mm-hmm. For people like us who have the privilege and the blessing and the access of incredible connectivity. It's more convenient to download something or to subscribe to something than it is to go out and buy it.
Yeah.
And we pay for that.
You know what's crazy? Because you mentioned about all this stuff. Yeah. And it reminded me of the early days of Xbox One before it came out.
Mm-hmm.
Where that was the vision of Xbox, where you always have to be online.
Yeah.
Download the games. I remember that. Stuff, right?
Very unpopular.
Very unpopular. But guess what? Every company does that now.
Yes.
PlayStation does it. Nintendo does it. Steam. Epic. Everybody.
And our not phones, even just in video games.
Even in our phones.
Yeah.
We're always connected.
Mm-hmm. Netflix.
And here's the thing. I think the messaging at that time was just terrible. The way how they were trying to explain it. Everybody had different answers. It was weird. Xbox at the time. But even the days of the original Xbox, I remember there was a controversy at that time where they announced the console and it says, hey, if you have an Ethernet connection, you can connect it mm-hmm. and play online. And people are like, wait a minute, I don't have an Ethernet connection. I don't have that in my location here right. in my area. I only have a 56K modem. We're like, mm-hmm. well, you can't play online.
Yep, too bad. You're left
this
behind.
This is the future.
Yeah.
Microsoft done that multiple times. And now we talked about Zoom also and with Xbox One. It's like, I feel like they always are ahead.
They connect.
They're always ahead. But it's either the messaging is just wrong, bad marketing, or something it just doesn't work out. That people like it's start not as, getting mad.
Yeah, it's not sticky with the audience
fast
at all.
Fast forward, now we have current console, Xbox Series X, S, PlayStation 5, and Nintendo Switch. Guess what? The disc of the PlayStation 5 and Xbox games, yeah, you get the disc, the physical, but guess what? You're actually downloading the digital version of that mm-hmm. from the disc to your console. After that, you don't need the disc anymore. The only thing you need is just to verify that you're the owner.
And it gives you a head start on downloading the actual data.
Yeah.
It goes
it's
faster.
Way faster
to
than
install.
Actually. Yeah, way faster. So, but that's the part that I'm kind of, and I was about to say something about that. So, mm-hmm. you know, I used to collect a lot of games.
Sure.
A lot of games. I had 300 plus 360 games, a couple of PlayStation 4 and Wii games, physical. It was insane. It was so bad that I had to get a storage. So bad that I had to get that. Then I decided I want to go digital. I think going digital for me worked out because one, I don't have to get up to change the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot easier to just switch and go. And also we have a house, we have a daughter, we need space. Imagine me, Ree, here with 300 games. You will be like, okay, we got to do something about this.
I'm a little bit more understanding because I too collect things,
of course,
but I get it.
But you get what I'm saying? Like, yeah. We need space. And the problem now with these digital games is hardware space.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be enough? Like, I remember I had so much music digitally that I ran out of space. I'm like, yeah. I ran out of space in my iPod. I ran out of space in my computer. Oh, man, let me go to a local store. You're
constantly
store.
Like trying to go back and switch out which songs you want to listen to.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, so I can't have physical because it's too much.
Mm-hmm.
I can't have a digital download.
It has a limit.
Also a limit. Now what?
Like, now we have streaming.
So the thing that's been working for us exactly is the streaming one. Like, we stream mm-hmm. a lot of movies and a lot of TV shows. Yeah, we don't own them.
We stream almost 100% of our entertainment.
100%.
Almost 100.
What do you mean almost? We don't have local channels. We use everything streaming. It's all streaming that we use.
I put in a disc every once in a while to watch a movie.
I have never.
Yeah.
When was the last time you did it? When was it? Maybe the last time
I watched Dungeons and Dragons. I bought the Blu-ray.
Actually, yes. That was the only time since we've been together. That's the only disc I remember that you put.
Yeah.
But the more.
Oh, I also still watch VHSs. Just, I have a number of VHS tapes and a VHS player of some of my favorite videos and movies that I got from a place that was down the street from me when I was in college that sold VHS tapes for $1 a piece. And I would collect my favorite movies in VHS so I could always have them because it was already the future, right? It was the 2000s.
Yeah. You know what? Now for me, what I usually do is I download 80 to 90% of digital games. If there's a game, I'm like, man, I need to collect this. This is amazing.
We have some discs. Yeah.
So for example, the last disc that I actually bought, but it was like a nice set, was Tetris Effect Connected.
But you still signed an end-user license agreement when you boot that up.
But here's the thing.
And there's still DRM, digital rights management.
But here's
the
thing, Ree. I've never opened that box.
Oh, it's just for collection.
Yeah, because that's what I was going to say. Like, there's certain things, certain games, certain movies.
That you just want to own.
Certain albums.
Yeah.
That I will buy the physical. Not every single album. Every single game.
That's why I have the complete box set for Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Like right now, I have a stack of just vinyls,
mm-hmm.
video game soundtracks, hip hop, anniversaries. Like I bought a Karis One album. There's like the 30th anniversary. I bought like a Wu-Tang album. But those are like for me to have display. Maybe we have a record player. People come in, like, you know, mm-hmm. just to keep it old school at night, you know, but it's different when you have take out a disc or record and you just put it
honestly
into the player.
The physical media.
Yeah, yeah. But same thing with games. Like you open it up, the plastic, you know, put it in.
You remember like what was your trick for taking the plastic off like a DVD case? You remember that?
Yes.
How hard that step was?
So I usually do this now for games and or music. Which one? Games? I could tell you.
I would say games,
trick.
Games and DVDs or Blu-rays or whatever.
With games. Let's say this is the game,
mm-hmm.
and I go to the side. There's like a little hole right here,
divot.
And I go, I just
with
cut
what?
It.
What would you use? What was your go-to?
Oh, with my key.
Your key, okay.
I'll use a key or a quarter or whatever.
The back of my earring was always my go-to.
That's a good one.
I would always, because it's a little tiny, you just prick.
I go like that, wrap it up.
So satisfying.
But the part that I hated, I have to be really careful,
mm-hmm.
is sometimes it will mess up the plastic of the case.
Yeah.
So I had to be really careful how I cut it and how I open it up
keys, because
there's tape on top, on the side.
Yeah, the little tiny sliver of tape.
Yeah. I'm like, no, I don't want to mess up my case. But if I'm collecting it, I don't open it. I just have
just it
there.
Just leave it in the plastic.
Just leave it there, yeah.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I feel like times are changing. It's actually cheaper for companies to just release a digital version.
Of course,
you know, than a physical.
They don't have to deal with manufacturing or packaging or distribution. Like, there's no delays, no leaks.
But there's going to be moments.
Virtually no leaks.
There's going to be moments where a company will be like, you know what? Let's make more money.
Mm-hmm.
Let's release a WandaVision
collection
or the Spider-Man, the Spider-Verse one.
I would buy that.
The Spider-Verse.
To be clear, Marvel, release a WandaVerse.
WandaVision. This is a WandaVision collection. Yeah.
Okay, somebody link it to me, please.
Yeah, yeah, it's out. And also the Spider-Man, Spider-Verse, Miles Morales.
Yeah.
And there's like a $99 collection. Like, I'm like, whoa.
Yes.
Sick.
Yes.
Stuff like that makes sense for me to be like, I'm going to buy it. Like, I know you have a couple of like the Avengers and all stuff there.
Yep.
That makes sense.
I do every Marvel collector's edition that I can find.
She always goes all out.
Yes.
I'm surprised that you don't have anything like with Avatar. Very surprised.
The Last Airbender?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I do have it, actually. I bought it recently.
The physical?
Yeah. It's under our TV.
Oh, it is? Okay.
I got Avatar Last Airbender, the full animated series, and I also got the Magic School Bus.
Ooh.
Because we have a kid, and she needs to know how to sing I'm Just a Bill with me at the top of her lungs.
We watched that, all of us, when we were kids.
Yeah.
Now, Ree, behind you, there's a vinyl, a special vinyl right behind you.
There is. I don't need to look. I know what it is.
You want to show it to the camera?
Let's show it off.
So for those who are listening to the podcast, for the audio listeners, I surprised Ree with the soundtrack of Hades.
So this is one of my favorite games of all time. Hades is an action RPG game, roguelike, and it's the type of game that I never play. Mm-hmm. Because I don't like games where I make progress and then lose all of my progress because I die.
Have you ever taken that out before?
Yes, of course.
I've never taken mine out.
I have. So what this Hades vinyl is all of the music. Shout out to Darren Korb, who was actually one of my most played artists on Spotify the year this came out, because I listened to this in my car and while I was working nonstop.
Yeah.
But this is one of the most special albums, special game albums or OSTs I've ever heard, because all of the music is just so emotive, and it reminds me of my experience playing this game and falling in love with this type of game. But if you can make it out, there's actually a transparency and you can see through the actual records.
Oh, if you flip it, it's another design.
And there's a different design on each side representing each of the gods that you're empowered by throughout the game. So this is a very special vinyl set, which I have never played, but...
No, we're going to buy a record player. For those who are listening, please let us know what's like the best record player for us to buy.
Yeah. We want to play real records and Bluetooth, of course.
Now, Ree.
But I wanted to say one more thing about this vinyl set.
Yeah.
Is that I don't necessarily need to own every piece of media that I enjoy. But I'm going to put this away later because I don't want to mess it up. But there are certain ones that are really important and I want to have forever. The problem is that's just not always possible. It's not always attainable. And what I love, like a Hades vinyl, for instance, isn't something that is mainstream enough for whatever company owns the rights to it to make all the time or to make in perpetuity. And that's the problem that we run into as consumers, where for many years now, we have shown by voting with our dollars that we prefer convenience to permanence. And it's a shame, because in almost every medium except for books, we are losing out the physical aspect because we keep ignoring it. And when games release in the stores, more people tend to buy them online or even stream them if it's a cloud game, than purchase a physical copy. Now, physical media, physical games specifically, music too, but more so games, obviously sell, right? They obviously have a place. People are clearly buying discs and giving them to people, or you playing them themselves or using them themselves to listen to things. However, an overwhelming majority of sales these days are digital. And the more and more we vote with our wallets in that direction, the less and less physical media we will see. And it's tough, because there is a very passionate group of people and a very rightfully frustrated group of people who are crying out to save physical media. And I just don't see it happening. We are even seeing the death of places like movie theaters for seeing things in person. Like,
I mean, there's movie theaters that change
they're changing their lineup.
Not the lineup, but more like subscribe and you could go multiple times a week. Like that.
So begging for customers.
I don't know about begging, but it's just, for me, I'm a subscriber, so I go to the movies all the time, and it works out for me, but not everybody's going to do that.
Of course, and it's really sad for me personally, because I do enjoy physical media, obviously. Mm-hmm. I've shown some that really means a lot to me, and there's many more things that I own that I find to be very near and dear to my heart, as somebody who falls in love with stories very easily. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, it's not as profitable, and... I know that it's really, really frustrating for people who don't want to see it go away. And I don't think it'll ever go away completely, but it will become a collector's hobby. Like you're saying, collector's editions. Like, people collect vinyls, but vinyls aren't the main way that music is printed and shared. Like, people collect like Blu-rays now, but physical discs for videos is just not the primary way that people consume video media either. And it's just, gaming is going that same direction, and there's really no turning back at this point, in my opinion.
So I'm gonna give a couple of stories. So one is, one thing that I do miss, and this happened a lot back in the days, where artists will be at a store, and you, when their album comes out, you buy the album, they sign it, like a book signing. How the hell are they going to do that with all digital?
They don't. They can't. They have a release party, and everybody like downloads it on their phone.
Like, oh yeah. So I've been to a bunch of those, like, back in the day. I have a lot of albums signed from different artists. So like,
they can sign a QR code now.
So I have Nas that signed his third album. Nas I Am.
Nice.
He signed that. Is it third or fourth album? I can't remember. But anyways, he signed that. And it was cool, man. Like, going over there, I got to see Nas. I got to see Eve before she even blew up.
Ooh.
Big Pun was outside. Like it was cool seeing other artists there supporting Nas and everything like that. I remember also being at MTV TRL, and it was like Hip Hop Week. And I had a magazine that was the cover. It was Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre. And it was the cover. This magazine doesn't exist anymore, but it's called Blaze.
I remember that.
So they were there performing. And I'm like, yo, Snoop, Dre, can you sign it? So Dre, I think he was signing other autographs. Snoop came up to me like, yo, and he signed it. I got that. If it's digital, you can't do that, right?
Yeah.
I remember I went to the Tribeca, and this is super recent. It was like last year. I went to the Tribeca Games Festival, where Sam Lake, Remedy, had a panel slash talk about Alan Wake 2.
Mm.
And I was there.
Great game.
Great game. I was super excited for that game. So everybody was like in line outside of the venue because they wanted to get autographs from Sam Lake.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody had a physical game of Max Payne or other games like Control or whatever, right? Or
other games from the studio.
But here's the sad part. Alan Wake 2 is only digital.
There is no physical.
There's no physical.
Yet.
I hope Epic will change. As of right now,
wink, nudge, nudge.
Haven't said anything. But
game of the year for many people, I think they would have a number of interested
but
customers.
But imagine me going to like a Nintendo event where Miyamoto's there, somebody from Nintendo that worked on the game.
Mm-hmm.
The game is only digital. How can I get that game that they worked on signed? Like, that's the part that I do miss.
That emotional, physical connection.
Yes. Like, there's games to me that is like, it changed my life. It's super important to me.
Yeah.
I want to meet my heroes that worked on that. Like, one thing that I wanted to do, and I did it for your birthday, was I'm cool with Peter Moore. He and his team worked on the launch of Sega Dreamcast.
Which is my favorite console of all time.
That's also my favorite console of all time.
Mm-hmm. And
you still have it. Still I don't have it. So we have different stories. You know, we got to do an episode all about Sega Dreamcast. Why is our favorite?
Oh God!
We should definitely future. Not now.
Sure.
One day, hopefully.
Birthday's
coming up. I had Peter Moore. This is during a time where I used to work at G4, and he was there in the studio. No, at that time you weren't working there anymore.
I was still there. It was the week I got fired.
You're right. You were there. My bad. You were there.
Yes.
So I talked to him. He's like, yeah, I'll sign it. So he signed it for you and everything. And I'm like, damn, that's so cool. And he also signed my console, my Xbox 360 console. They only made like 100 of those.
Mm-hmm.
It was for the 10th anniversary of Xbox Live, and he signed it. So you signed both consoles.
Yeah. And I shouldn't say fired. I was laid off. All of the directors.
There's a big difference between
fired and laid off. All the directors were let go.
Yeah. So he signed that to you. I give it to you. Ree, you have it as a display.
Cherished, very important memory.
Imagine if it's a digital cloud streaming and there's like no
device. Yeah, it's like your USB plug-in for your cloud streaming game device.
That's the part that I'm going to miss the most.
I get it. And it's odd to be so attached to physical things. I understand. And I don't want to say odd as in unusual or uncommon, but odd as in it's a weird feeling. It's an awkward sensation to find such emotional resonance in things. And I know that like physical attachments aren't always healthy, but there are some things that just hold memories for you, right? And there's some things that really just, when you see it, when you touch it, when you smell it, like it just brings back all of those feelings and those emotions and those memories. And it's a shame that we're moving away from that. Now, I don't know what we're moving towards in place of it and if that will be as satisfying to us as humans, as people who love media, who love stories, or not. But as I said, it is an inevitable future that we're going to see less and less physical media moving forward. And it's going to only be a collector's hobby. And it will not be a major source of income for a lot of businesses, because we've just simply shown through our consumers' behavior, it's not what we want.
Yeah.
And it's just sad.
The sad part about all this, the other day I went to the store. Could I even tell you, Rhea, I'll be right back. I'm going to go to Target. I'm going to see if I could look around, buy something, whatever. And I went to the video game section. So I went to the Xbox section first.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at it. And I'm like, before I take a picture, let me go to the PlayStation one. I go to the PlayStation. I'm like, okay. PlayStation has some physical stuff, physical games there. I went to the Nintendo one. Again, physical games and everything. And I went to the Xbox. There was no physical. It was all cards.
Yeah.
Digital cards
hanging up on the wall.
Either for Game Pass or
download the game.
Download the game digitally.
Yeah.
And they
like a scratch off card or something. Or like peel open.
Yeah, it's one of those cards. And I'm like, this is the future. I went to Best Buy
because
I went to get some drinks at Total Wine. Across the street was was Best Buy.
Yeah.
And when I went to Best Buy, I've never in my life felt like sad like that
in
at a store
Buy.
At a Best Buy was fun. Remember the days of Best Buy? You go you look around, look at the movies and music.
I mean, this was me in Blockbuster, this was me in Sam Goody, like all of these things are going away.
Yo, there was no physical. It was all like hardware, like computers, consoles, no games.
I mean, that's similar to going into a GameStop these days. It's all toys.
Games? Really?
It's like there's hardly any games now. All merch.
There is a lot of used games.
Used games for sure. Yeah, the used games market is really healthy. Yeah. But a lot of merch, a lot of like guides and stuff like that. And
then they probably have like buy the iPhone and Android device. Probably have that too.
It's just not the same. It's not the same as like going in and you see every game, console, everything you could think of, every release on the shelves.
You know what was really dope? Last year when I released my children's book, it was a physical version. Of course, there's like a digital version. People don't want to buy it. But
Daniela's video games available at Barnes & Noble and Amazon.
Amazon, yeah, you could go buy it. But the thing that I love about it, we did a launch event in Miami and we had a bunch of physical copies of the book.
We ran out for all the
people
kids
came
there.
Yeah, people came in.
Yeah.
We did autographs and everything. My cousin and I, he's the author.
Mr. Luna,
shout out to him. And that felt really good. Like, wow, that was awesome. Like,
and the kids absolutely loved it. Like they would pull it out and they'd point to the pictures that were their favorites and say, look, that looks like me, or that looks like my sister or my brother.
You can't do that with physical, man. Like I'm even gonna go back, way back. And you remember this, every Friday, every Thursday night.
Yep.
I'll go to Blockbuster Music.
Yep.
Blockbuster Video. Blockbuster Music, I'll go on a different day, actually. It was on Tuesdays, actually. So anyways, on Friday nights or Thursday nights, we'll go to Blockbuster Video. There's a new movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go look around. Okay, this is a new movie. They don't have that many copies left. I grab that movie. Put that movie at a different location
to hide it.
I'll put it like the worst movie that nobody will know.
You were that poor little teenager working there's worst nightmare that had to go through it and restock all of it.
I used to do that all the time, and then I talk to my cousin. Yo, this movie there. Let's go. We all chip in,
and then you go get it.
We get that and multiple movies. You know, I miss those days, man.
So those days for me was every Friday afternoon after school. My mom would, this is back when I was living in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yeah.
My mom would pick me up from school, and on the way home, there was a Blockbuster on the main road on the way to the house. And we would stop at the Blockbuster video, and she would let me pick out a movie, and she would pick out a movie. We get some snacks, and then we'd go home and we watch the movies together.
that's dope.
It was so sweet.
That is cool.
I would always check out like the one section that had the new releases, but then I would always go back to my tried and true, the comedy section. That was always
where but see, I ended up like, going. I miss those days, but also I have memories with you.
Yeah.
Where we were, it was during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. We're at the apartment. And every Friday we watch a movie or something. Like we
find something to watch, a new TV show.
There was no movie theater, nothing. We were stuck at the apartment. And I remember watching the Godzilla movie. Yeah,
was it fun?
Yeah, Godzilla.
Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat. We watched that
home. That was fun.
We watch a lot of movies that
we got into out. Emily in Paris. Like, yeah, that was another show.
But those are memories that I will always remember. I will never forget that.
Cherish those times.
Always. And so
it's us getting to know each other too.
Yeah.
Our first year together.
There's good and bad about just digital stuff.
Yeah.
But I feel like you could change that and make something positive. Like the movies I just mentioned right now at the end, that was all digital and we made it fun.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm going to miss the physical and, you know,
doing this stuff. Yeah, because if we could have a copy of, let's say, the Mortal Kombat movie. And, you know, we remember putting it in our whatever player and, you know, like we have it up on the shelf. And every time I glance at it as I walk past, I remember those date nights that we had. Like, it does have a different impact. It hits different for sure.
Yeah, but I think it's easier access right now. It's so much easier than...
Oh, well, of course. And again, all of this goes back to privilege and access, right? Like, the more people who can enjoy and consume and critique and evaluate and be inspired by media, the better, in my opinion. And things that are in physical print are in limited supply. And
I could tell you a story about that.
I get it. And they're like... And you, obviously living in another country, have experience with that as well. Like, it's hard to get stuff some places. It's hard to play it. It's hard to access it. But with the pervasiveness of the internet, streaming can eventually get to the point where it reaches more people than any physical media ever could. Now, it may not be there now, right? Infrastructure, at least in the States, is not 100%.
It's not.
But there's a lot of people who keep in touch across borders through playing games online with each other, and they couldn't do that before. And they playing a free game like Fortnite and able to like hang out every day and, you know, still keep touch. Like there are amazing upsides to streaming media and digital media. Mm-hmm. But I will always, you know, have a special twinkle in my eye for the old times.
I always for me. That's never gonna go away. And but I'm glad that we experienced those moments when we were kids.
We have the best of both worlds for sure. Yeah, our generations.
Because you know what's sad, and I felt very old seeing this video. There was this video of a little girl. She had the original Nintendo Game Boy.
I have that.
And she started going like this.
Oh.
And I'm like, I feel old.
she can learn.
I feel old seeing that. I'm like.
For the audio listeners, Danny was just swiping his finger on the phone.
Yeah, yeah, my bad. But yeah, it's wild. But you know what? We live and learn. We're always gonna learn about technology, and hopefully, we could show that to our child.
We'll share as much as we can.
Yeah,
with her, for sure.
Yeah, and
she's gonna play House of the Dead with the light guns. She's gonna enjoy it, gosh darn it.
Yeah, definitely. Now, Reed, this was a great conversation overall.
Yeah. It's good to reminisce.
Yeah, yeah. At the end of the day, it sucks that a lot of things has been changing, but we have to move forward. Like, there's nothing else we could do. If there's an opportunity for you to buy physical stuff that like movies or games or anything that's very important to you, go for it. Like I do it all the time. It's not gonna be like that with every single thing out there, but hey, I'm collecting as much as I can of stuff that are important to me. One of the albums that I have that is one of my favorite hip hop albums of all time is Nas' first album. It's called Illmatic. I have a gold version of that album they only made like less than 1,000, I think it was. So, and it comes with a book of the original press release and photo shoots from 1994. Mm. Flyers, everything, lyrics.
Can you believe that's 30 years old?
Huh? I know. It's wild to me. So, and in the disc, the actual album is gold and it's like mm-hmm. a nice case and everything. So what I've been doing is if I know one of the producers or Nas are performing somewhere, I always bring that with me because I want everybody that worked on that project to sign it for me. So I have a couple. I'm still missing. I'm missing Nas. I'm missing
Nas,
Premier.
If you're listening or watching.
DJ Premier, my favorite hip-hop producer. I met him so many times, but every time I met him, I don't have the album with me. I'm like,
We'll invite him to the house.
But I can't do that with digital, so I'm happy that I got that album. And I'm going to try my best to get that signed in the future. But that's all I wanted to say to end it. But
yeah.
What about you?
What about what?
No, I'm saying like what memories before we wrap it up? Anything
I mean, I've given lots of memories.
Yeah. Do you have anything like important to you that you feel like I would like to get this signed or something like, you know?
No, because a lot of the stuff that I have, I appreciate it for what my experiences was with it. Not necessarily I don't feel the need to have, you know, people validate it for me by doing that. And I don't maybe mean that word in a way that's saying like that's what you're trying to do. But for me, it's already special. Like I don't need it. I don't need it signed for it to be feel different.
The reason why I said for me is because, of course, it's special even without the autographs, but it's more of like, wow, mm-hmm. they gave me the stamp, like, yo, you got it. Yeah. Like, you know, like it's like more like
I have a VHS copy of Down With Love that it's like it's a movie with Ewan McGregor and Renee Zellweger that like it is not like collector or special at all. It's literally just a VHS copy I found in this store in college. Mm-hmm. But I've watched that tape so many freaking times because it's one of my favorite movies.
That's awesome.
And I just know all the scenes and I have such a great time. I always have a little drink when I'm watching it and I have a great time. It's like a little party for myself. Mm-hmm. And like having that experience is enough for me.
That's good.
But
that's good.
Yeah, I mean, you already told the Peter Moore Dreamcast story for me and like that's the coolest signature
that,
I own.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
By far. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, I guess like if I could get most of the cast of Buffy to sign my collector's like DVD copies, that'd be cool. But like, I don't know. It's still special to me anyway.
Yeah. Well, I think we should wrap it up because we went long. This was a great conversation. My God. Yeah. Yeah. If you guys want us to talk about other topics.
Yeah.
Let us know on socials or like under the description, not the description, under the comments on YouTube.
Yeah, give us suggestions or things you want to hear about. Yeah,
if you listen to podcast services, you could also comment in through there. But this was a great conversation.
Share, like, subscribe, all that good stuff.
Yeah, go for it, yeah.
Let us know how we're doing.
Definitely.
But
definitely.
Yeah, it's fun to skip down memory lane, but also just to think about the fact that our kids' future is going to look very different. And
very different.
You know, it's important that we remember our experiences and do our best to share that joy. And
definitely.
Sometimes it's easier with a piece of physical media, but sometimes you can share it more far and wide with something digital. So there's upsides to both. And I'm curious to know what you all think is the future.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up here. And remember, follow us, YouTube, also all the podcast services, just subscribe or follow and spread the word, share it with your friends. And be like, yo, they had a great conversation about physical and digital media. Share it. You could text it on your phone or email.
Okay, you know how to share stuff.
You know, I I'm just trying to make it easy for everybody. But anyways, share it. And next week we have another great conversation about something. We have a couple topics planned. So that's it.
Until
thanks, everyone.
Next time.
Bye.
Bye. Hello out there and welcome to the Danny
and Rihanna Show. This is Danny.
One more time.
Yeah.
3, 2. Mm-hmm. Hello out there and welcome to the Danny.
And Danny. Danny and Danny. Woo! Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay.